Anne's been on a theme of the family of God this morning. And so, you know, you've had that, and then we had the Maori Language Week thing coming in, which actually starts tomorrow, but if we left it till next Sunday, it'd all be gone. By the way, this morning's sermon is 15 minutes. And there's a Tui's billboard just being prepared right now to go with that. You know, but when you're going across into Māori, what's the word for family? Whānau, okay. And we know that as family can mean in English too, but especially in Māori and culture, it's, you know, extended family too. But in Māori is one of those languages where the same word has to do for a verb and a noun and an adjective all at the same go, especially a verb and a noun together. So what do you think whānau might mean as a verb? Obviously as a noun it means a family, but what does it mean as a verb, do you know? Sorry? No. Would you believe it means to give birth? Ah, it's a verb. Most people aren't aware of that, you know. So can you see the point? You're born into the family. But can you see that actually it's a nice connection with the Christian family, the family of God, because we are born into it, you know. Especially we think of ourselves as being born of the Spirit or born from above or born again. It's a lovely analogy, isn't it? So it's going to be about birth today. And, of course, being a world expert on childbirth, this morning's message is going to mostly be brought to you by people who know much more about it than I do. So, I'm now going to turn to everybody in the room who's had children, actually given birth to them. There's another story that goes with this. Wynne became aware of this African tribe where apparently when the women give birth to children, the men go into labour. Oh, when they become pregnant and the men actually go through the whole 9 months, symptoms and the birth and then and pain, everything. And Wynne has been deeply disappointed in me that I have been shown an unwillingness and an inability to copy the men of that tribe. If men had to have every second baby, no family would have more than three children. Sorry. Okay. So please use some phrases here, mothers, to describe what childbirth is like. Otherwise, it will just be stuff out of the top of my head and you'll just sit there going, he knows nothing. Very sorry? Very painful. Hard on the body. Sorry, people can write the book here. Okay, when the baby arrives, such joy. Yeah. So someone else over here? Overwhelming, inescapable. Yes, sorry, Pat.
It's like a complete takeover of your body.
Like a complete takeover of your body. There's a parasite there. Feeding off you. Any others? You know, emotional or scary. Scary.
Very frightening.
Frightening.
Forget about it.
Forget?
Sort of.
Some do, some don't. Okay. It's interesting the word we use for pregnancy, isn't it? Labour. Work. That's what it means, isn't it? Labour means work. Like hard work, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you've given me more or less the answers I could have guessed myself, but it's nice hearing it from the people who've actually been through it. They might have some more to add over lunch or morning tea. But certainly there's this process, isn't it? It's just like this. And, you know, yes, it's wonderful when you get to the end, although sometimes that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes that's even more traumatizing, or the baby is born. And then there's more problems after that, right? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, some nods of the head. Thank you. So, childbirth. So I'm asking about that because that's what our scripture's about this morning, isn't it? Okay. Now, have you noticed that the church for 2,000 years has been slightly male-dominated?
No.
Slightly. right? Just slightly. So that's why you get long sermons from me for half an hour, describing every Bible verse. That's a very sort of male learning, sort of academic, sort of, you know, clinical thing. But you, yeah, there are pictures of I mentioned in chapter 11, the picture of God, there are the picture of the two witnesses, which actually I suggested to you is a picture of, like, actually the church witnessing. And there's a lot of clues there. This woman, can you get anything about this woman? Can you get anything about the baby? Does the baby sound like Jesus? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? There's, especially the rule with an iron scepter, that's actually a quote from another part. So, okay, we've got that. Cool. The baby is Jesus. So who's the woman then? You, logic has to be Mary, doesn't it? But bits of it don't really fit Mary, eh? The dragon stuff you can certainly get from the story of Herod, can't you? I mean, that whole story where there's that threat of Jesus being put to death when he's born. You get that. But it's a bit bigger and crazier than that even. Okay? But certainly Mary, when suggesting the church, there's a clue. You're now experts in the book of Revelation. There's a certain... We'll go back to the first verse or two. There's a number there that suggests that this is a picture of the people of God, not just Mary. Because it's always, you've had this so far, you were halfway through now. What's that number that suggests the people of God? 12, yeah, 12. You know, she has 12 stars because it's 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles. It's that. That's the number that this is, it's not a very difficult code actually. You know, whenever it comes up, the people of God. You know, measure the city and it's 12,000 in each tribe, it's the people of God. So it's the church. You could look at it in Mary as sort of like it's the people of Israel, you know, because Mary is, you know, gives birth to the Messiah. As it were, there's a whole lineage there of the people of God, the Israelites and, you know, the Jewish people, if you like, who, you know, and then Jesus is born out of that people. There's another thing going on here that suggests that this vision is actually has some parallels to the previous chapter, and that's who's the maths people that worked out that, you know, saw the 3.5 years. Did you see 3.5 years there? Did you see, was it 1,260 days? Yeah. And there's another chapter in the previous chapter said 42 months. So now you've worked out the 3.5 years, 42 months, and 1,260 days, if they're 30-day months, is all the same time. 3.5 years is, in Jewish thinking in the book of Daniel, is a length of time of sort of unrestrained evil and conflict. And the fact that it's linked with the other one suggests that these are two complementary visions of the church. So not just Mary, but the church. Okay, so what am I suggesting here? That we're like the mother of Jesus? They are getting really touchy-feely and not very masculine at all, aren't we? Or that the church is like the mother of Jesus? You are joking, Paul. Yeah. Here's an interesting one. Now, let's go to Scripture, right? Let's not just say, the church is the, you know, mother of Jesus, because that's so not Presbyterian, right? We've changed oversight now, so I have to pretend I'm Presbyterian now. It's a good challenge for me. I am. Jesus, when he has people around him, remember when his family come to him? This is the end of Mark chapter 3. And Jesus says something really odd, and we just ignore it because we think, he didn't really mean that. Jesus' mother and brothers arrive, standing outside. They send someone to call him. This is the end of Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Crowd was sitting around him. They told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mothers and brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him. Now the unseated are his followers. They're the ones who hang on every word. They're, if you like, Christians. They're disciples. They're like real followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will, that sounds like a follower of Jesus, doesn't it? Is my brother and sister. Nice Protestant theology, nice normal Christian theology. Is my brother and sister, you know, Jesus is like our older brother. Cool. and mother. And mother? Did he really mean that? Yes, he did. How on earth could Reggie be Jesus' mother? Because, you know, the idea of like, oh, you know, we're born again. Like, it's us being born. You see, pretending or imagining we're the mother of Jesus is like Jesus being born in us. Is this a little bit strange for you? Well, can I tell you, it wasn't a strange idea to the Apostle Paul, who is often accused of being the most misogynist and, you know, woman-hating, and you know, which is not true, but he gets that rap. Because Paul, a single guy, and remember, he's brought up to pray, I thank you, Lord, that I was born a man. I thank you, Lord, that I'm born a Jew. Thank you, Lord, you know, that stuff. But he changed. He says this in his letter to the Galatians. And he's so frustrated with them because he's preached them, they've believed the message, and then other people have come in and said, oh, look, you just got to obey the Jewish law and you're fine. Don't listen to Paul. And they've gone, and they've gone away from his message, and even though he spent so much time with them. You know, he was so close to them. He actually says, I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Presumably Paul had a sight problem, and they're basically saying, look, you know, that's how much they loved him and he loved them. Sounds which is much more like a sort of mother-type relationship, actually. What we associate with mothers are nurturing and so on. Okay, so here we go. He says, my dear children, this is Paul speaking to the church, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth. Until, here's an interesting one, until Christ is formed in you. Oh, wow. Christ is formed in you. Does that sound a lot like pregnancy? Doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? The picture there is a very strong, like, someone like us going through thing. Here's another respect in which it's like that. What is the Christian life actually like? Well, I suggest to you it's a lot like childbirth. I mean, life generally is, you know, it's a struggle, it's tough, it's painful. You know, eventually later on there may be some joy when something comes to fruition. The Christian life even more so, wouldn't you say? And so this is actually quite an amazing thing, because this is saying that if you have had that experience of childbirth, you have an insight into the Christian life that someone who hasn't been through that simply won't have. Yay for you. This is the nature of Christianity, of Jesus being formed in us and born in us. Now you're saying, well, Paul, I think you're on heresy today and your contract is finishing tomorrow. Well, can I suggest to you that you all need to be sacked with me? Because every year you sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, don't you? What do you sing when you sing that? Oh, come to us, abide with us, be born in us today. Have you been singing those words and not been meaning them all these decades? Have you been singing those words and thinking, oh, yeah, that's not really right, I don't believe that? Or have you actually been singing it and thinking, yeah, that's how it is. Yeah, be born in us today. When you sang that, I'll bet you had more the reaction of, yeah, that's what the Christian life is like Jesus being born in us. So, here's your lovely challenge for the day. When you are going, so this is really important, because it means that when you're going through a tough time, this relates to the tough time we all go through. It means that is normal Christianity, childbirth, and that struggle for that. And you know how you sort of want, you know, that image of Christ, you want that to be stronger in you, and it's a process. But do you know how you want it to happen instantly? 6 minutes, don't you? Who was that person? That sounded good, didn't it? 6 minutes from when I first believe to when the image of Christ is perfect in me and I give birth to Jesus. That sounds great. Or not even, you know. The carrying a child is obviously has great differences between different mothers' pregnancies. Some, it's very, very painful and horrible, and there's all sorts of complications all the way through. Some, it's like, it's just easy. You think, lucky them. Lucky them. Apparently, when my mother was carrying all of us children, people hardly even noticed she was pregnant. Don't know how that worked. My daughter has a theory that, maybe we're all adopted. Yeah. No, we weren't. But here's my point. This struggle of that you're working through, put it the other way. You know those tragic stories of mothers who don't know they're pregnant. Yeah? And you've even heard the stories of where, sometimes it's almost the baby is born, sometimes the baby actually is born before a young mother even knows that's what's happening. You know those stories, don't you? Yeah. So that's not how the Christian life is meant to be. Does that make sense? You're actually meant to be aware of a process. It might be painful, it might not be, but you will have to go through stuff. And it's the church, so it's not just you individually, it's we as a church will have to go through stuff to get to the other end for Christ to be perfected in us and in us as a group. Was that a happy sermon this morning? It's obviously, I'm sorry, you guys all feeling left out this morning. How's this relevant to my life? Or, for that matter, women amongst us who haven't had children, same thing, I guess. But I hope you get the idea anyway. That struggle is part of the deal. But also, the joy is too, potentially. It doesn't always happen that way, but usually it does, doesn't it? The child arrives, or we give birth to something. Here's a lovely thing that God says sometimes. I was reading Elijah during the week. And Elijah, heading towards 20, and Elijah says to the woman, remember her son died, we're staying with? And he says something that really, it just grabbed my attention. He asked her to do something. Remember what he asked her to do? So he can do something with the son? Yeah, give me your son. It's sort of when you see that, you think, oh, whoa, whoa. Yeah, give me your son, your child. Now, those of you who've had children, or you have difficult children, none of us have those, of course. But, the concept of even when you have a child, to commit them to God. Be careful here. We've got one or two children in the room. But to actually dedicate them to God, or to let God look after them, to trust God with them. But it applies to all sorts of other things too. Also the stuff we do in our faith. I've got this amazing thing that, I think God is doing. But we need to give it to God, just like we would give our children to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you understand everything we've talked about here today, because you, Jesus, went through 9 months in a womb. We are your children. We thank you for giving us new birth and new life. We thank you for this picture of us and of your church and of your people as going through conflict, in fact, a conflict with the enemy and with Satan himself. But we thank you that in the same way that you looked after that woman in Revelation chapter 12, that you look after us, in the same way that we're going through difficult times or difficult issues or just whatever, or just pain, that you are there with us, healing us, strengthening us. Father, that life that you've started in us, would you please bring that to fullness in us, the life of Jesus, and so that, as it were, our lives give birth to a wonderful, like a new representation of who Jesus is and our part in the body of Jesus. I just want to suggest to you this morning that if there is something that, I don't know, in your faith or in your circumstances that you, this morning's message has sort of gone, oh, yeah, what I've been going through is like that sort of, you know, drawn out, difficult, painful thing. To ask God into that situation. And commit what it is we're giving birth to God. Thank you, Lord, that everything, anybody, everything we entrust to you, you are faithful to look after. Amen.